and I realized I've never spoken on it before, but I've often referred to it in kind of settings with others I've been trying to disciple or help. And it's a great little line. It's where Paul just says in a wonderful passage that we'll refer to different parts of the passage as we dig into it, but he ends verse 6 with this. He says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." Isn't that a great little passage? Should we read it together? You might even have not got it in front of you, but you might just be able to remember it. We'll just read it through twice, and maybe you won't remember it the first time, but the second time you might. So here we go. "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." One more time. "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." And you might have a slightly different version of that, and that might help you as you think about and reflect on it. But that's what I want us to just pause and reflect on this evening as we come to this table and as we think about the vision that we heard last Sunday morning, this heart that God's put in us as leaders to really see us as a whole church working together to raise the next generation, as it says up there, raising the next generation to be free. That's our values, to be following Jesus, to be reaching out, to be an extended family, and to do everything in love. That's the heart he's given us. And I really believe that each one of us has a part to play in that vision that we think is so important. And we see time again in Scripture. One of the interesting things about being in Brighton is that actually loads of people want to be free in Brighton. It's a place, I think, that kind of draws people. I actually personally think there's something about the seafront, which is just a wonderful place. It's a wide open space. And there's something about freedom that actually, when you dig into it in the Scriptures, some of the ways it talks about freedom and salvation is a picture of being brought into a wide open space. And I think people have a longing in their hearts to be in wide open spaces. There's all these kind of things, not just architecture-wise and sort of the way cities are planned, but in our own lives and the situations that can kind of feel like they hem us in. And we want as people to be free. There's a longing and a heart for freedom. I think one of the big challenges, though, is that there are many different voices which tell you this is the way to freedom. And in fact, you could kind of broadly say there are two main big camps. And Paul, in this passage, he directly speaks and challenges both of those two camps about both the way into freedom and what an expression of freedom really is. And if we're trying to raise the next generation to be free, we need to know how we can keep helping them, but also helping ourselves not fall into one of those two main camps, but do the very thing that Paul is encouraging us to do as we think about what it is to enter into that freedom and then to express that freedom. So first, let me say that I think one of the ways that people often say is a way to freedom, and this happens all over the world, less so in Brighton, but even in Brighton, it's picking up again, I'd say. And that is the way of saying, I would encourage you, people would say, to really get a kind of hold of your life as best you can. You know, be super fit. Get really good at your studies. Actually, keep this kind of vegan rule or do something that's kind of fulfills a kind of religious sort of mandate. They might become a Buddhist, or they might say, oh, do you know what? It's not about being a Buddhist. We're going to do something like this. But in one way or another, the kind of self-help sections or the sections that say this is what you should do to really discover freedom. And, you know, once you're healthy and fit, then you'll feel free. Once you're kind of done well in your exams, then you'll have all these options. Once you've kind of mastered sort of meditation or mindfulness, then you will really feel free. And in Paul's day, it was quite common in the early church, because the early church grew out of Judaism, to actually even turn to the Old Testament and say, well, do you know what? If I keep all those rules, if I really am a proper Jew, or if I become, because Gentiles could, as it were, become Jews, if I get circumcised, that was like a big deal. That was the sign of being part of this family. If I've done all that, then I'll be kind of in, and in that inness, I'll then be free. And this verse, Galatians 5, verse 6, often as I share it initially with people, I don't start at the beginning of the verse, because the beginning of the verse is kind of a bit of a funny beginning. Paul is saying here, he says this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself with love." He's saying in the whole of Galatians, he's saying, look, the law, keeping the law, doing the religious thing, it doesn't actually bring you freedom. It's not the way into freedom, and it's not also the expression of freedom. Sometimes we think, well, if we're free, you're going to do everything exactly right in the kind of way that keeps all the law and keeps all the kind of the things of religion. And I tell you what, my experience watching Christian churches that go down a very religious route, it's all about the laws, is that for the next generation, it actually doesn't breed faith, it breeds death. And brothers and sisters, if we want to be a church that is actually really helping raise the next generation to be free, let's not fall into the lies that the enemy would love to put, that the way into freedom is a way through religion and law. No, there is a better, more wonderful, and actually only way to find true freedom. So you might say, well, okay, David, if it's not the law, oh, well, then I get it. It's abandoning all that. And you will find plenty of people who will happily abandon all of the Old Testament commands. Oh, yeah, it's abandoning any sense of try harder and do this. You know what the way to freedom is? The way to freedom is believe that it doesn't matter what you do. The way to freedom is doing whatever you like. And there's all kinds of voices like that in Brighton as well. Do whatever you like, and those voices will be pounding our young people and our students as they head off into different things. You know, do what you like. And the way to express freedom in that way, not just the way into freedom is do what you like and believe whatever you want, but the way to express the freedom is, again, just do whatever feels good, and you will be free. But time and time again, as people go down that route, they get enslaved. Enslaved in addictions, enslaved in abusive relationships, enslaved in patterns of selfishness that they can't actually get out of, because that is a very, very narrow enslaving path. And Paul says to the Galatians, he says, look, he starts verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And he goes on through the whole of Galatians and he says, look, the way to true freedom, and there is only one way, the way to true freedom, the only things that count is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Faith in the one who died and rose again, who lived perfectly. That is why we want to call people to be those that believe in Jesus, believe that he is Savior and Lord, believe that his way is the best way and want to follow him. That is the way to freedom. The way to freedom, true freedom, is Christ alone. And we need to keep hearing that. That's why this is so helpful to come back to the simple meal of remembrance. The next generations, the 40-somethings, the 30-somethings, the 20-somethings, pass it on. They keep needing to hear it. The 10-year-olds, the 5-year-olds, they keep needing to know, oh, no, it's not about the rules or just doing what you want. It's about faith in Christ. Turn from this, turn from that. Come and believe in Jesus Christ. That is the way into freedom. And what then is an expression of freedom? How do you know that you are really free? Well, Paul writes so eloquently on this. He says in verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, to just do whatever you want. That's actually not freedom. Rather, serve one another in love. I remember praying with a young man, maybe 17, 18 years ago. We both used to meet up for prayer, and he was a guy who was on staff at what was CCK then, a guy called Alan Rose. And I remember him, we met up in the early mornings, and he would once said to me, I've just discovered something amazing about this verse. And I said, oh, I love that verse as well. And he said, you know, the word there for serve one another in love, it's actually the word doulos. And doulos actually means slave. And he said, you know, this whole thing of freedom is that this expression of freedom is a willingness to become a slave. I mean, how topsy-turvy is that? that the expression of freedom is that we so love one another that we will serve one another, that we're willing to be a slave to love others in that kind of way. And yet that, Jesus says, is the way when you're really free to live for God as God made us to live, not as well free to just live for ourselves, but to live for others, because that's how God made us to live. And so we come to this verse that we're focusing on. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love, because faith is the way into this freedom, and love is the expression of it. And I find coming back to that helps me time and again in the big things and the small things. Because all too often we can, maybe again because of wanting to do everything right, or because of sometimes falling into that kind of religious camp and thinking about, oh, how's God going to view me about all this, or how are others? You know, we can end up making decisions out of fear. Or even sometimes when we're frustrated with ourselves or others, out of frustration. Even just down to the little things like what we say, or what we do, how we respond. But fear and frustration is not the way to live. The way to live is faith and love. But also in the other way, we can actually end up making decisions in a way that makes it all about us. What's going to be good for us? How's it going to affect us? Again, that's not a way to live. The way to live is to live by faith that knows the freedom as you come in faith to Christ and says, okay, how can I then live that out in love? And so I want us, as we come to this communion table, this place tonight, this place where our King, Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, came and lived a life of love, that amazing, reckless love, that love, and I love, someone prayed, I think it might have been you, Barbara, talked about the kindness of God. I mean, God is so kind to you and I. And when we come and receive by faith his kindness again, remember, because of what Jesus has done, we are right with him. We're free. Because of what Jesus has done, we can be close with God now. And I think, Judy, you prayed this tomorrow and in our workplaces and in our homes, and not just in this time, but forever, because of what Jesus has done for us. Because of what Jesus has done, we come in faith and we take hold of this bread and this cup, which are reminders of his sacrifice for us. And we, as we take them by faith, we enter into his freedom. And as we receive, we're changed. Because now we no longer need to live for ourselves. We already have the freedom that is better than any other freedom. So that even if we end up in a prison cell, we can still say, hallelujah, we're free. And we can then serve those around us in love. Whether family or annoying neighbors or people at work or people in church, or the young or the old. We can serve in love, whatever the future holds, because we have been loved in such a radical, life-giving, freeing way. So I would love us just to have a moment as Brian and the band come and lead us again in just preparing our hearts to receive this most amazing meal, this meal that reminds us that in Christ we are free. Let's come again and say, God, we want to live by faith. We want to take hold of this meal by faith. And if you're here and you believe in Jesus, this meal is for you. You're welcome. Come, take and eat. And as you eat again, let God's love transform you to say, yeah, I want to live a life of faith and love. So Lord Jesus, as we come to this table, as we prepare to eat this meal, Lord, we turn from everything that's not faith expressing itself in love. We know that you say in your word that anything that does not proceed from faith is sin. So God, forgive our sin. Lord, we come and find through our trust and our faith in you the freedom that is real freedom. Lord, grow our faith as we take hold of you, as we prepare to come to this table. Search our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit and your love. So we might live lives of faith and love, we pray. In Jesus' name.